Normally I say, turn to Isaiah. That's where we'll be next week with part two of the sermon you heard last week. But this week we are going to veer off today and give thanks. And so this is a message, a Thanksgiving message. And before we start, let's go ahead and pray and let's ask the Lord just to help us. Heavenly Father, we give thanks. For you are good. Your steadfast love, your mercy, endures forever. It is the reason we are here. And for that, most of all, we give thanks. Because it stems from you, who you are, in your character as God, and what you have done for us. We give thanks. And we know that we give thanks effectively, Father, in the right way, because we give it in Jesus' name. We give thanks for the power of the gospel of Christ that has changed our lives. And that is why we meet. I pray today that Jesus would be lifted up. Pray that He would increase. That all of us would decrease. I pray in spite of me, you would work. I pray that you would give great help and help us today to be thankful as we go out into our lives this week and as we have Thanksgiving with family and friends. Father, may we be a blessing. And may we be thankful. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. This week, as we know, we're going to celebrate Thanksgiving. Some of us will be heading other places. Some of us will have it at our homes. But we, hopefully, will be with somebody. We'll be with family. We'll be with friends. And we will certainly enjoy good company. And I know we're going to enjoy good food, if the Lord wills. I know that some folks are going to get some time off work. Kids, anybody off school? A little bit? It's just one day? No, you're not a kid, but thanks, Greg. Y'all should have seen that. It was worth it. I wish we had that on the screen. But this week, from another perspective of Thanksgiving, we give thanks for a lot of things. And we remember the blessings of God on our country. If you want to go back and study why we do Thanksgiving, so much more things there, I think, from a secular standpoint about, you know, giving of thanks. And even those who are not Christians, they're giving thanks. They're something there that gives thanks to someone or something for the blessings of life. But again, as Christians, I think there is so much more. So I just have three questions this morning that I want to answer about giving thanks. The first one is, why do we give thanks? Just why? It's just a foundation of why we give thanks. Then two, what do we give thanks for? They kind of go together, but I'm going to spend most of our time there today, and even personally, as the elders are going to give thanks to the congregation and some of the things that we've seen. And then the third question is, from what motive do we give thanks? In other words, how do we do it when we give thanks? And so let's begin with the first question. Why do we give thanks? I want to go back. In the beginning, God created Adam and Eve. And though we do not see the word thanksgiving or even giving of thanks there in the first three chapters of Genesis, I believe they were thankful. I am sure when we think about Adam, when he named all of the animals and then God brought him Eve, he was thankful. I'm sure he was. That was just one emotion among many. Thank you, praise you, God, for giving me someone that is not like the animals, but like me. I think that when they looked around and they saw God's creation and how He cared for them in the garden, they were thankful. They were special in His eyes. They knew that He loved them. And as they looked around and saw the world, I think that they gave thanks in their hearts to God's care over them. And I think such is the case with mankind in general. I think that God made us in His image, and eternity is written on our hearts very clearly. And there's something about, I think He's put something in us, the ability to give thanks. And I mean, think about when we give thanks, when we say thank you to someone, it is freeing, it is good. And then the person who hears thank you, it is good to hear thank you as well. Heartfelt satisfaction. I think there's something built in all of us that allows us to give thanks, to have gratitude, we might say, from a little different angle, but gratitude to what we have and what is happening. So I think at the most basic level, we owe this beautiful gift to God. We give thanks to God just for even the ability to say thank you, because He is the one who created us, and from Him all blessings flow down to us. So with this in mind, when we think about Adam and Eve and their giving of thanks, we find ourselves in a little bit different circumstance. As a people of faith in Christ, from one perspective, we have so much more to be thankful for than Adam and Eve. And you might at this point say, wait a second. Their life was right. There was no sin in the world. And you might say, Pastor John, Adam and Eve had it great. But if you knew what was going on in my family, and you knew what was going on with my friends, and you were to see all the troubles of my life and the chaos in the world, you might say, wait a second. Well, I would say to you, if that is the only way you see life, then I think you are missing the point. You see, as Christians today, we live after the fall. Before the fall, there was no need for goodness, the goodness of God, in showing mercy. Adam and Eve didn't receive mercy because there was nothing to receive mercy for. They just received blessings. But today in Christ, we are the recipients of mercy and grace. Sin and death give rise to mercy and grace. And this is the work of God in Christ. So I just say that from the beginning. That is the found God Himself and who He is and what He has done for us is the foundation for all of our giving of thanks. Number two, what do we give thanks for? This is just clear. What do we do today? What when we say thank you? Well, this truth is a big one. And so what I want to do is begin with the Old Testament just for a moment and talk about something that I've seen there that as I read and as I studied, I saw the words when I looked up give thanks, when I looked up thanksgiving, giving of thanks, whatever, anything that had to do with thanksgiving. In the ESV, in the Old Testament, guess what word came up right beside that almost every time? The steadfast love of God. It's very interesting. I think, so right from the beginning, we give thanks for the steadfast love of God. This is why in 1 Corinthians, Paul says that faith, hope, will pass away. But love remains. It is eternal. And the Bible says God is love. And then we see a description of this love, at least in the ESV, steadfast. Steadfast, moving on, not ceasing love. And so as I looked up these words, I was overwhelmed. Steadfast love in the Old Testament came up 194 times in the ESV. And so I'm not going to read 194 verses. Psalm 106 is very common. And we see this over and over. Psalm 106, verse 1. Praise the Lord. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. For His steadfast love endures forever. Psalm 136, we see a beautiful picture of who God is and what He has done in the life of His people. Let me read some of these words. And I would like for us to, as you listen, notice what the psalmist does. Notice how he begins with God, and then he moves on to what God has done for His people. So Psalm 136, verse 1. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods, for His steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords, for His steadfast love endures forever. To Him who alone does great wonders, for His steadfast love endures forever. This goes on and on throughout the psalm. To Him who by understanding made the heavens, for His steadfast love endures forever. So the psalmist is starting with God. This is what God has done. And there's something about what God has done that's connected with His steadfast love. And so he says that. Then the psalmist says that it is the steadfast love of God that delivered them from Egypt. Verse 10 of that same chapter of 136. To Him who struck down the firstborn of Egypt, for His steadfast love endures forever. And He brought Israel out from among them, for His steadfast love endures forever. With a strong hand and an outstretched arm, for His steadfast love endures forever. And he goes through this. I'm not going to read all of those. But then at the very end of the psalm, we come to verses 23 and 24. And he says, God has not forsaken us. He has not left us. And this we can attribute to His steadfast love. And I think this is where we're going to get at the meaning of this in a moment. Verse 23. It is He who remembered us in our low estate, for His steadfast love endures forever. He rescued us from our foes, for His steadfast love endures forever. Now, I could read on and on 194 times of those words. And by the way, we're going to come back to this in a moment. If you've got the King James or the New King James, you're going to see the word mercy. And they go together. We're going to see that in a moment. But let me ask, how many times do you see the New Testament writers giving thanks for the steadfast love of God? At least in the ESV. Anybody want to guess? 194 times in the Old Testament. How many times do we see steadfast love together in the New Testament? Now, I maybe haven't done my homework enough, but at least steadfast love in the ESV, we see it zero times. So why is it in the Old Testament we see the steadfast love of God and we give thanks for that, and we come to the New Testament, we don't see it one time? I think you know the answer. But if you don't, why do you think this is so or not so? When I realized it in my study, I cannot explain to you the feelings of emotion that came over me when it hit me. You see, I think in the Old Testament, they felt God's love, certainly by His Spirit, those who had faith. And they knew that He loved them because of the things that we just read, the things He had done for them and to them. He pursued them. He showed them long-suffering. He protected them. He did not forget them. He loved them. And I think the connection there is He loved them while they were yet still sinners. Because if you go to the King James and other versions, you'll see the word mercy. That's the same word in the Hebrew. See, that's the difference between us and Adam and Eve. They didn't need any mercy. But we need mercy. In the Old Testament, all they had was their system. They had God's acts and how He brought them out. All these things that God was doing, He kept them in the desert. He gave them all of the commands that they needed to live by. He loved them and He cared for them in a way He didn't care for the rest of the nations. And so even as they sacrificed those animals day after day, week after week, and month after month, they knew that God had given them that system
But yet, it continued. And so, I think there is something there. I hope you're getting the answer. All they had were the works of God. But us, today, as Christians, we have the fulfillment of this steadfast love. When we get to the New Testament, we see the complete fulfillment of God's steadfast love. Today, Christ, His person and His work is the steadfast love of God. In other words, God doesn't want us to look back at all of these acts He has done. Now, do we give thanks for those acts? Absolutely. But He doesn't want us to see all those things. And that's what Israel was saying. They were saying, but yet, even in the midst of all these acts, I am a sinner. But yet God continues to deliver me and continues to give me grace. And we do not deserve it. But when we get to the New Testament, what is steadfast love? It is the gospel of Christ. This is why I believe we don't see the word steadfast love, because God doesn't want us to think. It's hard for me to explain this. But steadfast love is Christ. For God so loved the world that He gave. The greatest act. He gave His only begotten Son. And this is love. Not that we love God, but God loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Romans 5:8. God commands His love. He shows His love, His steadfast love towards us. And while we were yet still sinners, Christ died for us. See, we don't have to look forward to see the steadfast love of God like Israel was doing. They were looking for that mercy to come. And all it was mercy. But they didn't know exactly how it would come. But they knew it would come in the Messiah one day. The greatest act of steadfast love is the sending of the Son, particularly the cross. Jesus laid down His life on the cross. He took our sins upon Himself, and those who believe in Him will not perish but have everlasting life. If you are not a Christian today, I would invite you, I would urge you to look unto Christ, because there you will find the steadfast love of God. Especially. And here we must begin. We must begin with Christ. Every thought, every word, every ounce of thanksgiving that we have as Christians flows through Christ. And so, that is really, that's the foundation, that's the umbrella of everything that we do when we give thanks. As in families, how do you know, husbands, that your wife loves you? Because of the things she does for you. You may just say, I know, but wives, how do you know your husbands love you? Because maybe they bring you flowers, that's one thing. But what about all the acts of sacrificial love they do? We know someone loves us by what we do. In the same way, we know what the steadfast love of God is because He sent His Son. That is our focus as Christians, always. And that is what we give thanks for. Now, for the rest of our time, as we have a foundation laid, I want us to consider from the New Testament especially some of the things we give thanks for. And I've got just a few of them from the Scriptures to start with. One thing we give thanks for is the power of God. There's a verse, and I don't know where it is, but it says, "We give thanks to You, O Lord God Almighty, who is and who was, for You have taken Your great power and begun to reign." I think that's actually Revelation 11. So we give thanks for the power of God. We give thanks to God for His work of salvation in people's lives. 1 Corinthians 1:4, Paul says, "I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that was given you in Christ." 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 13, "But we always ought to give thanks to God for you, brothers, beloved by the Lord, because God chose you as the first fruits to be saved
through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth. So here Paul is specifically giving thanks to the work of God in people's lives. We give thanks when God answers our prayers. 2 Corinthians 1:11. You also must help us by prayer so that many will give thanks on our behalf for the blessing granted us through the prayers of many. We give thanks, brothers and sisters, as we pray one for another. When you pray for your brothers and sisters, Ephesians 1:16, Paul says, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. 1 Thessalonians 1:2, we give thanks to God always for all of you, constantly mentioning you in our prayers. A number of verses like this. We give thanks also for the will of God in our lives at all times. Paul says, 1 Thessalonians 5:18, I give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Today, as we go out, no matter what is going on in our lives, because of Christ and what He has done for us and the foundation that is laid, whatever may come our way, we give thanks for all things. We give thanks for acts of kindness. Has anybody been kind to you this week? I hope so. Give thanks. Romans 16:4. Paul says, those who risk their necks for my life, to whom not only I give thanks, but all the churches of the Gentiles give thanks as well. And then, I guess I'm repeating this a little bit, but we give thanks as to the ways in which God is working in one another's lives. We ought always to give thanks to God for you, brothers, as is right, because your faith is growing abundantly and the love of every one of you for one another is increasing. I could go on and on and on here. There's so many things in the New Testament that we are to give thanks for this week, especially, but not just this week, but every day. Now, for most of the time that we have remaining, I've got just a little bit in closing. I would like to just spend some time as a congregation here, just from an elder's perspective, just giving thanks where thanks is due. This week, I asked the elders to tell me what it is about grace and being an elder here and serving here. We've been together, it'll be 11 years, starting first of next year. We met 2 years in the high school. We've been here the rest of the time. And I asked the elders through this time to think about what it is that we give thanks for our congregation here, for the congregation that God has given us. And there are so many, and I'm not putting them in any particular order, but here goes. We are thankful. And I'm going to just say, we are the most thankful. I don't just do this because it's a Thanksgiving service, but it really is my heart, and it is really the heart of your elders. But we give thanks for those who serve weekly without any compensation. Many churches pay folks to do all these different things. So many of our folks get nothing in return as far as money is concerned. But I'm so grateful. As elders, we are so grateful. We're grateful for our home group leaders who do so much, our Sunday school teachers. I would say Anita and Sharon, if they're here back here. I see Miss Gunther back there in the back. And Kinsey, is she here today, Miss Gunther? Just helping, doing the Lord's Supper. I mean, for how many years have you baked those things? 11 years. I mean, does anybody know that she bakes the bread? We just think we don't go down to the store and get it. We could, but Miss Gunther's been doing that. And so thank you, Miss Gunther. And you can pass that on to others that help you, especially your family. But all the musicians, folks standing up here, and the vocalists singing, nothing here except just desire to see God's people sing. And thank you. Thank you. Those through the years, whether it was, you know, it used to be Andy, but now Greg and others, and Pam and Sean sitting back there in the back, and all of those who do sound, Hunter, and I mean, there's others that do sound. But thank you very much. I think about, certainly about Pam doing all the coffee, and thank you to Ben for putting up with Pam doing all the coffee for all these years. But thank you. That's a blessing. And if at some point, Pam, you decide not to do coffee, we'll be just fine, okay? We'll be just fine. But thank you. It's big. And so many more things that we can say. I think that we certainly, as elders, think about the deacons that do so much. And then not just the deacons, but the deacons and how they administrate and take care of things so that the elders can spend time in the Word and thinking about how we can better shepherd and preaching and praying. So, and I think within the last couple years especially, I think the deacons' wives have gotten way more involved, and they're doing so many things that we have no idea about with the shower, wedding shower, I mean the baby showers and weddings and funerals and then just generally all the meals that you guys have been supplying for those who are sick and those who have had loved ones been lost, and on we can go there. So much. We thank the church for all of the mission trips and our willingness to spend our money, to give our money, to spend our money towards mission trips. And again, let me put this back in here again. This isn't just me. These things have come from our elders, okay? I put them down on paper. But thank you, and I hope we will continue to do that, to look to the ends of the earth. We are thankful for godly parents. So many churches, and I hope this is not the case with us, but so many churches, godly parenting is neglected because the church is doing it. In other words, we bring kids to a church, and there they get Sunday school, and there they get other things, and there's their instruction. But I can promise you, the way we display the gospel the most is in our homes as godly parents, in the way that we lead and raise our kids. As our homes go, so will go Grace Baptist. If our homes go bad, I don't care what we do on the... yes, we might get the gospel, but if it doesn't happen in the homes... So thank you for really trying to... And I know we all fail. The Sherrill family fails greatly. But accountability, that's another reason to give thanks. We give thanks for accountability, that we hold one another accountable in doing some of these things. I think moving more towards just elders and some of the things that really affects us in giving thanks. We are thankful for a congregation that is willing to follow your leadership. This is huge. Thank you. We give thanks for what bit of simplicity we have. We fight against this a lot. We try to keep things simple because we know how life is busy out there. And so I give thanks that for what we are, I know some people might not think we're that simple, but we are fairly simple about the way we do church. And so we want to try to keep it that way. But thank you. I think we give thanks. I am so grateful. But as elders, we give thanks for you, for your desire for truth. You're not just coming on Sundays. You really come and you want to hear. And I give thanks as mostly the one who preaches, that you actually sit and listen for all of these years. And you've put up with my changes, you put up with my attitudes, you put up with my emotions here and there, and whatever comes our way. Thank you very, very much for sitting and listening. I'm grateful. Thankful, particularly at this time, for our younger folk, younger than me, young adults, we might say, for the groups that's been meeting with the Henleys and the Snooks and others and Caitlin and just those who are meeting in that group,
who just are meeting because it's organic. It's not something that we said you need to start, you need to do, been meeting, and they just want to have community together so that they can love and care for one another and get some instruction. And then they're even bringing other folks in and doing evangelism. And that's a big deal. That's what we desire as elders. Equip the body for the ministry. Equip the saints for the ministry of the word. This is the application of the gospel. When we as elders see these kinds of things, then that's when you're starting to say, that's what we're doing. We're not just coming for information, then go home and have something to eat. We're actually stepping out and saying, I want to make disciples. That's what we're after. And I give thanks because we're seeing that. And we're seeing that with the young people as well. With those, Caleb Young is not here now, Lee, but him and his help, and then McCamey and Brittany and Kendall and Caitlin, I could name them, Hunter and Emily, they're doing that right now. Just the thought, too, of what Caitlin and Emily, I don't know if you know, they're meeting with some of our young girls in a home. So they're not coming to a building somewhere. When I went over to Emily's the other night, because I thought Hunter might be a little bored, because when the girls meet over there, they send him out. He goes into the other room. So I went over and I thought, I'll go sit with Hunter for a few minutes. Well, we sat in there and talked for about 15 minutes. And then I left and I came out. What a blessing to see the Blackledges and the Sherls and others who I know that most of you girls are coming. Some of your girls are coming. Candace and Tommy, who's over there? Is Avery and Ansley? I could just go on. There's others that I'm not mentioning that are part of that group. Clara, I think she's been coming. Anyway, thank you. That is a big deal, because that's not just something you do at church. That's something that Emily and Caitlin are saying, God has laid this on our hearts, and this is what we want to do. And so these young girls are just seeing this is what it means to make disciples. And this is good. This is really good. We're thankful. I haven't mentioned the Sunday school teachers yet, but thank you for Larry, great, always great. And Michael, those who teach, Greg, all the Sunday school teachers and some of the elders who teach, it's a blessing. Those who do the kids, you know, whether it's Trudy or Pam or Sandra or whoever is doing them, thank you very much. We've seen a lot of fruit, and I think you're coming alongside of the things that are going on, hopefully, in the home. As elders, we say, thank you for loving us. Otherwise, I don't think we could be here. Thank you for caring for us. Your care for us as an elder body has been abundant. Another thing, a lot of leadership in churches lose their trust. I give thanks, we give thanks for trust, that you actually trust us to do what's right. Now, have we always led in the right ways? No. Have we always gone the particular, maybe the way that you'd like for us to go in any particular issue? No. But generally speaking, you have trusted us and you've given us this responsibility to care for you, and we give thanks. We're thankful for your accountability to us. Please keep it up. We need it greatly. Don't ever be scared or shy to keep your mouth shut when it comes to anything. I think another thing, too, a lot of churches out there do not have a plurality of leadership where we have elders and deacons. We give thanks for just, Jimmy especially mentioned this one, when we first started, we didn't have all the mess that went along with that. There are churches, I talk to pastors who are exactly where we are, but their congregations are far from that. And what happens when they try to do that? They're liable to lose their job. They're liable to lose their position as their pastor because it's such a big deal. But we see it as scriptural and we see it as a good thing, and it's been good here at Grace. Personally, I would just like to thank the elders and for looking after me for all these years. Thanks. Thank you so much. I could not do what I do if it weren't for the elders. They just bring me along and they look after me. They deserve most of the credit for everything that goes on at Grace and taking care of me. Otherwise, I would not be able to do what I do. So thank you. I really appreciate it. today we praise God for these things and so many other things. We just thank you so much for what you've done and all the things you've done. There's so many other things that we could give thanks for, but I would like for us to just to remember that as we move to the to finish up the sermon this morning or this time together. As we go out of this place, don't forget to give thanks for everyone in your life who has blessed you and helped you. We are a people of thanksgiving, and we give it very differently than the world. Which brings me to the last question, and this is very brief. In closing this morning, how do we give thanks? How do we do it? That's motive. That's what I'm talking about. What's it come from? Well, I think the first thing we see in the Scriptures is we give thanks continually. And I think the reason that we give thanks continually is because of our hearts, because of the gospel of Christ. Paul says this, "I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers." This is a characteristic of the people of God. We're always thankful, and we can't help it. If you find yourself and you look at your life and you're just not a thankful person, and I would say to you, look unto Christ and ask Him, "Lord, why is it that I'm not so thankful?" Because God gives grace to His people that we are thankful in every circumstance. And this is our heart. We give thanks in season and out of season, in the good times and in the bad, through life and death. See this in the Old Testament, do with the steadfast love or the mercy, goodness. Give thanks to the Lord for He is good. Because the world does not see Him as good, but we do. For His steadfast love, His mercy in Christ endures forever. Forever. And not only do we do it always, we do it with a grateful heart. It's one thing again just to say thank you, but it's another to be grateful. And I'm just repeating, but Hebrews 12:28. "Therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And thus, let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe." This is really key, brothers and sisters, the heart. God's children have a heart that flows with thankfulness and gratefulness to God Almighty and who He is and what He has done for us in Christ. We have so much to be thankful for. But here at Thanksgiving, we are reminded of it today more specifically. So as you go out this week, be thankful. Look unto Christ. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we give thanks, and we always begin our prayers. I know that even in the Lord's Prayer, we start with, "Hallowed be Thy name." But Father, before that, there's a great heartfelt impulse within us that says, "Thank you." Help us today to be thankful. Help us this week to be thankful. Help us to be thankful in such a way that we make disciples, that we do evangelism, that we care for people and their souls by telling them about Christ and teaching them to obey everything you've commanded. Help us to look beyond the food and the friends and the warm places and the football games and the other things that go on to your steadfast love in Christ. And may we be a light. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for the Grace Baptist Church podcast. Many Sundays, the manuscript can be found at our website at www.gracebaptistchurchnc.org under recent posts on the right. We would love for you to visit. Grace meets at the South Rowan YMCA on Sunday mornings at 950 Kimball Road, China Grove, North Carolina. Fellowship is at 9:30 a.m. and worship starts at 10. Remember to be intentional in making disciples this week.